The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the mouth, out of the heart, come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and to throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. I had a dream last night. It was a Christmas Eve service, and it was a church that I'd never been in. And the people that were there, some of them were from my childhood church, and some of them were from congregations that I had served along the way. And what I remember most distinctly is at one point in the service, everyone got up and started mingling around. I guess it was a sharing of the peace. And as I was sitting there watching this happening, I remember saying out loud, "Nobody's wearing a mask." Do you know what this means? Now, I was a psychology major in college, and so I learned all about, you know, interpreting dreams. And so I realized what this particular dream means is that masks have now invaded my subconscious. Masks. Now, if you know me, you know that I am all about and a strong advocate for people wearing masks, and I think that they're being very effective on bringing the curve down on the coronavirus. But there's a lot of debate going on out there, and something else you need to know is I hate wearing masks. Now, granted, like I said, they're effective, and also, you know, they're not a bad accessory. Let's be honest. You can have a nice, pretty design, or you can have a sports team. Look, I've got a pastor mask. It matches my shirt and everything. It's awesome. But wearing them, I hate wearing them. I mean, first of all, it makes your face feel all hot, and you know, you get sweaty under there, and some people have what's called macne. Apparently, it's a new term that's acne from wearing a mask. And I wear glasses. If you wear glasses and have to wear a mask, you know how infuriating it is because everywhere you go, you're all fogged up. It's like looking at the world through blinders. But again, I know why we should wear them, but I also know why they're annoying, and there is a debate that rages on about wearing masks. But it's not the only debate that's come out of this COVID-19, is it? We've also had debates on openings and closings, whether we should open up and be welcoming, and not just here at the church, but in stores and everywhere. Some people think that it's time. Some people think that it's not time. Some people think that the economy is most important, while some people think that health is most important. Which way do we go? There's also debates on social distancing. Well, not so much debates on social distancing, but we're not very good at practicing it, are we? You know, it's hard to be 6 feet away from somebody. But do you know in all this, the one thing that's not debated? Washing your hands. We put out a survey several months ago, and one of the questions that we asked were, what's one change do you think would be necessary to come back to live worship? The number one answer by far was adding hand sanitizing stations. We're all in favor of having clean hands, aren't we? We know how important they are. They stop the spread of germs. Washing your hands using hand sanitizer is a great defense for stopping the spread of not just the coronavirus, but a whole bunch of other stuff out there. But you know, that hasn't always been known. In the mid-1800s, there was a guy named Ignaz Semmelweis from Vienna, Australia. He was a doctor there, and he worked mostly in the maternity ward. And one of the things that he noticed was that the part where the midwives worked had a much lower mortality rate than the maternity ward where the doctors worked. In fact, with the doctors, the mortality rate was 16% to 7% with the midwives. So we wondered why that was. Well, it just so happened that a friend of his, another doctor, was performing an autopsy. And while doing so, he cut his finger. And subsequently, he developed an infection and he died. So he wondered if perhaps the two were connected. Because a lot of times the doctors would come in from doing an autopsy, now this is disgusting, and immediately go and help a woman give birth. And so he wondered if perhaps if they washed their hands between going from an autopsy to a patient or from patient to patient, if this in fact would lower their mortality rate, if less women would die from giving childbirth. And sure enough, it did. It dropped from 16% all the way to 3%. And so he theorized that washing your hands was an important way to combat disease. Of course, we're in complete agreement with that, aren't we? We know that it's important to wash your hands. We wash our hands before we eat. We wash our hands after we go places nowadays. It's important. It's helpful, right? So, it's kind of strange to hear that Jesus isn't on that same page, isn't it? Because that's what our gospel reading begins with. Apparently, the Pharisees had seen Jesus' disciples eating with unclean or defiled hands. In other words, they didn't wash their hands before they were eating, which we know it's nasty. But surprisingly, Jesus wasn't on the same page with the Pharisees. He said, no, that's not what defiles a person. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person, not what goes in. Now, something that we need to understand. First of all, Jesus was not talking about the cleanliness or the healthiness of eating with washed hands. For Jews, it was part of the ritual. Eating with unclean hands made you dirty, not just from germs, but it made you dirty before God. Defiled means it made them unworthy of God. So eating with dirty hands made you dirty to God, is what they believed. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way it works. Because when you eat, what you eat goes in, goes out into the sewer. But what comes out, well, it comes out from the heart. And those things are the harmful, hateful, hurtful words that people say. And that's what defiles us. That's what makes us unworthy to God. That's what makes us dirty. It's not what goes in, but what comes out. And that makes sense, right? I mean, when we were little kids, we had the poem, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." But yeah, they do. They do hurt, don't they? I mean, words can be so very destructive. We hear about bullying nowadays. And, you know, when I was a kid and those who were older than me, bullying was, you know, usually violence and a big guy coming and punching you in the arm or something. Now more and more we're seeing how kids are tormented by words that are written to them and said to them over and over and over again. Words do hurt. They do leave marks. In fact, Ignaz Semmelweis, the father of hand sanitation, was basically laughed at and rejected. He was fired from his position for pushing hand washing. And he was so rejected, and people wrote him so much that he eventually lost his mind and died at the age of 47 in a psychiatric hospital. That's the destruction that words can do to a person. When we say things that are harmful, hateful, and hurtful, it destroys people. It knocks them down. It makes them think less of themselves. It makes them feel unloved, unworthy, and unwanted. And we know that's true because I guarantee you each and every one of us has experienced that same thing in our lives, have we not? Which is why the next part of this gospel is downright distressing. Jesus goes from there to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman comes up to him. And apparently her daughter is being tormented by a demon, and she's shouting this very loudly, and Jesus is just ignoring it. And his disciples are saying, look, she's getting on our nerves. Can you send her away? So at that point, Jesus says, look, I've been sent to the house of Israel. And she keeps on and keeps pressing him. And he says, you know, it's not good for me to throw the food of the children to the dogs. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, the sinless one, calls her a dog. I mean, now, even in today's times, that's not really a nice thing to call someone. But back then, I mean, that was like the insult of all insults. And that's how Israel felt about all Gentiles. They were dogs. They were unworthy. They were beneath them. And we hear Jesus calling her that. He had just finished saying that the words that come out of our mouths are what defile. The hurtful, harmful, hateful things that we say, that's what defile a person. And then in the very next passage, we hear Jesus doing just that. It's crazy, isn't it? It's absolutely absurd. It is so very distressing to hear our Savior talking like that. It's unheard of. Well, I kind of wonder if that's what Jesus' point was. Because clearly that's not how he felt, because she had a nice quip back of her own that says, you know, well, even the dogs eat the food off the kids' tables. And then he heals the woman's daughter immediately. But what Jesus shows us by the absurdity of him using that term to degrade someone else, it shows the absurdity of his followers doing the same thing. And don't we? Don't we use our words to hurt other people? I mean, think about it. People that are different than us, that are a different race, they're from different places, they speak a different language, have different sexual orientation. They have different political beliefs. Do we not use our words to tear these people down? Do we not use harmful, hateful, hurtful things when we speak of them and speak to them? I mean, think of the words that we use day in and day out to talk about other people. And it's not just the people that are different from us either. I mean, do we not use those same horrible words to talk about people that we're supposed to love? How absurd is that we, followers of Jesus Christ, people who are supposed to be of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. We're supposed to be the ones who bring love into the world, and yet we are the very ones who are downgrading other people. That's absurd, isn't it? Why do we do such a thing? I believe that in this passage, Jesus shows us just that. If it bothers you to hear our Lord call someone a dog, it is just as absurd for his followers to do the same, if not worse. We are called to love and accept everyone. Jesus shows us that in this very passage. I mean, Gentiles were not supposed to be dealt with by Jews. But Jesus reaches out, shows her love, and heals her daughter who's being tormented by a demon. That's the same kind of love that you and I are called to share to everyone, no matter what. No matter who they are, no matter what they look like, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, you and I are called to respond with love. That's who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Because to do otherwise makes us unworthy, makes us dirty. Because when these things come out, that's what defile a person. But I tell you, for us to change, it's going to take more strength than we've got. We've got to begin with prayer and ask God to help us with this. And one of the things that we need to work on is not just the things that we say, but also the things that we type. In fact, for some of us, that's some of the most harmful, hateful, hurtful things that we say. When we post things on social media, other people see that. When we share things that are harmful, hateful, and hurtful, it just passes on that hatred. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are called to show grace, love, and mercy. To do otherwise would be absurd. So let me encourage you this week to think about what you say and ask God to make it loving, lifting, and life-giving. And pray before you post. Remember that. Pray before you post. Before you hit that send button, before you hit that post button, pray. Ask God if this is loving, lifting, and life-giving. Ask God if this is going to change someone's life for the better. And if it's not, delete it. Because those are the things that defile. Those are the things that make us dirty. Those are the things that make us unworthy. You and I are children of God. We are called to be loving, lifting, and life-giving. You know, we post a lot of things on social media, and we do it in ways and with the hope that we're going to change somebody, right? We're going to make a difference. But study after study has shown that people who disagree with you, they're not going to be changed. But you know what does change? Love changes. Love changes everything. We know this because we have a God of love who changed the world by sending His Son. Despite the fact that we are fallen, broken sinners, despite the fact that we defile ourselves day in and day out by the things we say, His love changes the world. Our love can change the world. Words matter, my friend. May your words be loving, lifting, and life-giving. Amen.